Today is the 10th day of July. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Welcome back around the global campfire. It is great to be here with you today. I am grateful to be here with you today, as I feel every day. Grateful that we have the place to be. Grateful that we can do this every day. I'm grateful for the challenge and changes that it makes when we do. So glad that we can take this next step forward together. And that step leads us back into 1 Chronicles. And as we're aware, we've been working through the genealogies, the famous genealogies in the Bible. And we will kind of exit that, come out the other side of that now. They encompass the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles. Today, 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and 10. So all Israel was enrolled by their genealogies, and these were written in the book of the kings of Israel, until Judah was carried away captive to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness. Now the first group of inhabitants who settled in their property in their cities consisted of Israelites, priests, Levites, and temple servants. People from Judah, people from Benjamin, people from Ephraim, and people from Manasseh lived in Jerusalem. They included Uttai, the son of Ammihud, the son of Omri, the son of Imri, the son of Bani, from the sons of Perez, the son of Judah. From the Shilonites, Asaya the firstborn and his sons. From the sons of Zerah, Jeuel and their brothers, 690. From the sons of Benjamin, Salu, the son of Meshulam, the son of Hadoviah, the son of Hasanua. Also Ibniah, the son of Jeroam, and Elah, the son of Uzi, the son of Mikri, and Meshulam, the son of Shephatiah, the son of Ruel, the son of Ibnijah, and their brothers, according to their genealogies, 956 men. All these men were heads of families listed according to their fathers' houses. From the priests, Jediah, Jehoiarib, Jachin, and Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Meshulam, the son of Zadok, the son of Meraiot, the son of Ahitub, the supervisor of God's house. Adiah, the son of Jeroam, the son of Pashur, the son of Melchijah, and Maasai, the son of Adiel, the son of Jazera, the son of Meshulam, the son of Meshelemit, the son of Emer, and their brothers, heads of their father's houses, 1,760 very capable men for the work of the service in God's house. From the Levites, Shemaiah the son of Hashub, the son of Izrikim, the son of Hashabiah, from the descendants of Merari, Bakbakar, Aresh, Galal, and Mataniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zikri, the son of Asaph, Obadiah the son of Shemaiah, the son of Galal, the son of Jeduthun, and Berechiah the son of Asa, the son of Elkanah, who lived in the villages of the Netophatites. The gatekeepers included Shalum, Akub, Talmon, Ahiman, and their brothers. Shalum was in charge, who previously served in the king's gates on the east side of the temple. They were the gatekeepers for the camp of the descendants of Levi. Shalum, the son of Kor, the son of Abiasaph, the son of Korah, together with his brothers from his father's house, the Korahites, were in charge of the work of the service, guardians of the entrance to the tent. Their fathers had been over the Lord's camp as guardians of the entrance. Phinehas, son of Eleazar, had been ruler over them in the past, and the Lord had been with him. Zechariah, son of Meshelemiah, was gatekeeper of the entrance to the tent of meeting. All these who were chosen to be gatekeepers in the doorways numbered 212. Those whom David and Samuel the seer appointed to their office of trust were listed by genealogy, according to their villages. So they and their sons were in charge of the gates of the Lord's house, when the house was still a tent. The gatekeepers were positioned on the four sides, east, west, north, and south. Their brothers who were in the villages were to take turns coming in to be with them for a 7-day shift. So four chief gatekeepers, who were Levites, were in an office of trust and were in charge of the rooms and the treasuries in God's house. They were stationed around God's house through the night because that duty was assigned to them, and their duty was to open it every morning. Some of them were in charge of the vessels for the service. They counted them before and after each service. Some of them also were in charge of the furnishings and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as well as the fine flour, wine, oil, incense, and spices. Some of the sons of the priests prepared the mixture of the spices. Mattathiah, one of the Levites, who was the firstborn of Shallum, the Korahite, was entrusted with making the flatbread for offerings. Some of their brothers from the sons of the Korahites were responsible for preparing the bread that was set out and arranged every Sabbath. These are the singers, heads of the fathers' households of the Levites, who lived in the rooms at the temple and were free from other service, because they were busy with their work day and night. These were heads of fathers' households of the Levites throughout their generations, headmen. These lived at Jerusalem. Jael, the father of Gibeon, whose wife's name was Maacah, lived in Gibeon with his firstborn son Abdon, and with Zur, Kish, Baal, Ner, Nadab, Gedor, Ahio, Zechariah, and Miklot. Miklot became the father of Shimeam. They also lived with their relatives in Jerusalem. Ner became the father of Kish. Kish became the father of Saul. Saul became the father of Jonathan, Malchishua, Abinadab, and Eshbaal. The son of Jonathan was Meribbaal. Meribbaal became the father of Micah. The sons of Micah were Pithon, Melech, Tariah, and Ahaz. Ahaz became the father of Jarah. Jarah became the father of Elamet, Asmaveth, and Zimri. Zimri became the father of Moza. Moza became the father of Benaiah, and Rephaiah was his son. Eliasa his son, and Azel his son. Azel had six sons, whose names were Azrikam, Bokeru, Ishmael, Sheariah, Obadiah, and Hanan. These were the sons of Azel. The Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from the Philistines and fell mortally wounded at Mount Gilboa. The Philistines were closing in on Saul and his sons. They struck down Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. The attack directed at Saul was fierce. The archers targeted him and hit him, and he was in great pain from his wounds. Then Saul said to his armor-bearer, "Draw your sword and run me through so that these uncircumcised fellows do not come and abuse me." His armor-bearer would not do it because he was too afraid. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. When the armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he too fell on his sword and died. So Saul died, and his three sons, his entire house, died together. When all the men of Israel who were in the valley saw that their army had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned their cities and fled. Then the Philistines came and lived in them. On the next day, when the Philistines came to strip those who had been killed in the battle, they found Saul and his sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. They stripped Saul, carried off his head and his armor, and sent them throughout Philistia to spread the good news to their idols and people. They put Saul's armor and weapons in the temple of their gods and impaled his skull in the temple of Dagon. The entire city of Jabesh-Gilead heard about everything that the Philistines had done to Saul. So all the courageous, strong men set out and carried away the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons. They brought them to Jabesh and buried their bones under the terebinth tree in Jabesh. Then they fasted for 7 days. Saul died as a result of the unfaithfulness which he had committed against the Lord by not keeping the Lord's command and by seeking a medium to direct his actions. He did not seek guidance from the Lord. That is why the Lord brought about his death and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. Acts 27, 21 through 44. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have followed my advice and not set sail from Crete and avoided this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because there will be no loss of life among you. Only the ship will be lost. In fact, last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And surely God has graciously given you all those who are sailing with you. So keep up your courage, men, because I believe God that it will be exactly the way I have been told. However, we must run aground on some island.' When the 14th night came, while we were being driven back and forth in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors suspected that they were approaching some land. They took soundings and found it to be 120 feet deep. After sailing a little farther, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daybreak. The sailors tried to escape from the ship and had let down the skiff into the sea, pretending they were going to put out anchors from the bow. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'If these men do not stay in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut the ropes holding the skiff and let it fall away. Just before daybreak, Paul urged them all to eat some food. He said, 'This is the 14th day you have waited in suspense and have gone without food. You have eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food because this is important for your rescue. In fact, not a hair from any of your heads will be lost.' After he said these things and had taken some bread, he gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and took some food themselves. In all, there were 276 of us on the ship. When they had eaten all they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain overboard into the sea. At daybreak, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach where they planned to run the ship aground if they could. They cut off the anchors, leaving them in the sea, and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then, after hoisting the foresail to the wind, they headed for the beach. But they struck a sandbar and ran the ship aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, while the stern began to break up from the pounding of the waves. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that no one would swim away and escape. But the centurion wanted to save Paul and kept him from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make their way to land. The rest were to follow, some on planks and some on other pieces from the ship. In this way, all of them were brought safely onto land. Psalm 8. Your name is majestic, for the choir director, according to Gittith, a psalm by David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Set this glory of yours above the heavens. From the lips of little children and nursing babies, you have established strength because of your foes, to put a stop to the enemy and the avenger. Whenever I look up at your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you remember him? The son of man that you pay attention to him? Nevertheless, you make him suffer need apart from God for a while, but you crown him with glory and honor. You make him the ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and cattle and even the wild animals, the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea, which pass through the currents of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Proverbs 18, 23, and 24. A poor man pleads for mercy, but a rich man answers harshly. A man with many acquaintances may suffer harm, but there is a loving friend who sticks closer than a brother. Father, we thank you for your word and for the words in Psalm 8 today. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Who are we that you would even think of us, much less know anything about us, know us individually enough to know the strands of hair on our head, close enough to know everything that we keep hidden, and to love and believe the best about us and continually send your spirit of truth to lead us into the truth. We love you. Where are we without you? Who could we possibly be without you? Indeed, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens, through the praise of children and infants. You have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, majestic is your name in all the earth.